This is Sean Silverthorne. Welcome to another Working Knowledge podcast. I'm here today with Nicholas Retsinas to talk about what many would call a crisis in America's rental housing situation. Nick is director of Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies, which conducts research to examine and address the most critical housing and community development issues in America. Nick is a lecturer in housing studies at the Graduate School of Design and the Kennedy School of Government, and also a lecturer in real estate at the Harvard Business School. Nick has recently co-edited a new book, Revisiting Rental Housing, Policies, Programs, and Priorities, which he developed with Eric Belsky. Nick, welcome.
Nice to be with you.
Could you give us a quick overview of Revisiting Rental Housing?
Sure. For many years, we at the Joint Center and many economists and housing researchers in this country have focused our attention on home ownership. In so doing, we've neglected the fact that a good part of the housing stock, a good part of the housing tenure choices are people who rent. And we thought in this day, in this era, in this time, it would be appropriate to look again and find out who these people are, why they do what they do, and what are the implications for communities and indeed the broader economy.
It's about a third of the American housing stock is rental market, is that correct?
Right. About two-thirds of all American families own their own home, a record high. But that one-third is about 35 million households who rent.
Now, why is rental housing important?
Well, it's important for a number of different reasons. One, that number is important. 35 million is a big number. Secondly, 95% of all Americans at one point in their life rent. They don't automatically go from the womb to the family to owning a home. Thirdly, it makes a big difference for people at certain wages. People with low wages, for example, have difficulty buying a home. Renting can be the only option in their particular case. So it becomes a very important part of the housing sector, but also contributes to the broader economy.
Tell me a little bit about the difficulties, the challenges that the United States faces in rental housing. Is there enough stock? Is it affordable? What are the issues we're dealing with?
Well, there are many, many challenges. And while it's hard to make generalizations, in rental housing, you can. For example, while 20% of all renters make over $60,000 a year, 20% make under $10,000 a year. They have a very, very difficult time making ends meet. At the same time, over the last several years, we've been losing affordable rental housing. Over the last 10 years, for example, we've lost about 1 million units of unsubsidized housing, that is, units that were affordable but now no longer affordable, plus many of the federal housing initiatives are soon to be expiring, and with their expectation, we will lose stock.
What are some of those programs that are looking to expire soon?
Well, some of them go way back to the late 1970s and 1980s, some of the early Section 8 programs, programs that were tied with long-term mortgage insurance, sometimes of 30 to 40 years in duration. Well, that clock is ticking, and they're now coming up. The second major program is the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program, which is the major federal housing production program. That was passed in 1986, and most of the units came online in the late 80s and early 90s. Well, there is a 15-year period where they must remain affordable. Well, now that we're in 2008, that 15 years has come, and the owners are revisiting whether to keep those units affordable.
The subprime market must have had an interesting effect on rental housing, both with more folks who traditionally got into rentals were now been able to qualify for loans, for good or for worse, to buy housing, and now those are kind of reverting back to perhaps going back into rentals again as they lose their homes. Can you talk a little bit about overall what the effect of subprime has been on rental housing?
Well, it's been very, very interesting. The subprime debacle has called all of us to revisit owned housing. And in so doing, we now better understand what some of the risks are in owning and how renting can avoid some of those risks. For example, if you rent, you don't take on the risks of falling housing prices. If you rent, you don't take on the cost of ongoing maintenance. That's a responsibility of the landlord. So in a very, very strange way, subprime is a reminder that perhaps owning and home ownership isn't always the answer, that there are other options, and the tenure choice of renting is one of those options.
The book looks at the government involvement in rental housing in terms of policies. You mentioned Section 8 as one in the past. and some others as well. Can you kind of show us from a 30,000-foot view what those policies entail? How many have been, for example, to build new rental stock versus vouchers, which folks can take from one place to another? Can you talk a little bit about the differences in those programs?
Historically, the federal government role was to subsidize and support the building of rental housing. Over the last 10 years, that strategy has changed, and the strategy is now to give people vouchers and to use the power, the purchasing power of demand to lead to more sort of rental housing. Mm-hmm. I think the papers, however, illuminate a very important issue that I don't think was necessarily seen clearly by all, which is to say the government support of rental housing is more than just helping people find a cheaper place to live. As important as that is, and many of the predicates of federal rental housing programs were around affordability and helping people find a place that they could afford. What we have found in our research and in the group of papers that we have assembled is that these federal programs have an impact not just on the individual tenant or the individual family, but indeed on the entire development and, more importantly, on the neighborhoods that they are in. And I think what we have not yet studied is the community development impact of a rental housing program, not just the impact on the individual family.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, about the impact on the neighborhoods?
Well, I think it's pretty clear, one thing we do know, that concentrated poverty is a bad thing. It's a bad thing for the people who live in concentrated poverty, plus it has dire impact on the neighborhood around it. An affordable rental housing strategy can really be a way in which neighborhood and community development can turn around. It can be a platform where people have a decent place to live that's connected to places of employment, where people have a decent place to live so their children can go to school and not keep moving around. And what we're trying to understand is what is the positive effect of that kind of those kinds of programs on those broader issues of education, of healthcare, of employment. And we think that's not been studied sufficiently, and we think these papers begin to make that argument.
Well, you often see at a local government level where you try to do some low-income housing, not in my backyard syndrome. People saying you're going to depress my property values, put it somewhere else. Yet the book suggests that property values really aren't depressed in certain situations by these developments. Can you talk a little bit about that, how you overcome this inertia to not in my backyard?
Oh, I'd go a little farther. I think in many ways, people in local government, indeed people particularly in suburban communities, for example, have demonized rental housing. It's about them. We don't want them in our neighborhood, whatever the true rationale for that is. But the research is, again, pretty persuasive that the development of affordable rental housing, particularly affordable rental housing that's well-designed and well-maintained, can increase property values and not bring down property values. And as we said before, the irony of the subprime debacle is we now understand that home ownership doesn't guarantee that neighborhoods get revitalized, as we witness now the wave of foreclosures that are hitting American cities, and certainly will be over the next year or two. I think it allows us to better assess what the relative role of rental housing is.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the future and what policymakers should be thinking about in terms of developing new policies for the future. You mentioned in the book that over the last decade or so, most aid to homeowners has been to homeowners. They get tax breaks, other incentives, where rental folks and builders of rental housing stock get about a third less than actually what goes to homeowners. In terms of those kinds of policies, what should we be thinking about?
Well, we believe, and I believe, there will continue to be an emphasis on home ownership. Indeed, it is the American dream. But as we have learned recently, it is an American dream that can quickly turn into a nightmare. I think the strategies that are put forth in the book for consideration is that we start to think about rental housing, again, not just purely an affordability program, but a program that, for example, could be tied into an economic development strategy. Mm-hmm. I think the business community is attuned to the fact that in our new economy, we produce a lot of low-wage jobs. It is the nature of the economy. those people need a place to live. Owning a home, taking on that risk, is not always the most effective and efficient way for them to find a place to live. So what the book suggests and what the paper suggests is there may be opportunities to work with employers, where employers can be the people who can go to that local community and say, wait a minute, you should think about allowing that rental housing development to go forward, because it's good not just for the people who live there, but it helps us make sure that we have the labor force that can ensure that our company and indeed our region stays economically competitive.
Have we seen any good models of this?
There are some examples of that, yes. There are a handful of places. Illinois comes to mind, where there's been a state law that promotes employer-assisted housing, that promotes rental housing. In some of the high-cost areas on the West Coast in California, particularly in Silicon Valley, we have numerous examples of companies who have stepped forward and say, yes, rental housing is important because that's where our workforce needs a place to live. So we have seen some examples. To say it hasn't swept the nation would be an understatement, but I think there are some promising examples.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, Nick, but there's a presidential election coming up in a few months. Mm-hmm. Have you heard much from the candidates about this issue? There's certainly a lot about pressure on the middle class, but not necessarily on the less affluent classes at the bottom.
The good news in the presidential campaign to date is that housing has become an issue. The bad news, it's all about foreclosures.
Yeah.
It's all about damage control. Not atypical is we are trying to sort of close that barn door now that the horses of sort of rampant subprime lending have already sort of taken off and left the barn. I am hoping, however, as people sort of step back and try to understand more analytically what happened, that policymakers understand there are other options, that we don't need only to find ways to extend credit to people who really aren't quite ready to take on that credit, and that rental housing can be that option. Again, some limited signs that may be possible, but right now the noise is all about foreclosures.
What more research needs to be done in this area? What questions need to be answered?
Well, a few. One is we'd like to know more about exactly why people do rent. I mean, there's the obvious reason. People rent because they think they won't be in a place for a certain sort of length of time. But there are people who make a very decent income who rent. I'd like to understand what goes into those tenure choices. What are they weighing? What are the pros and cons mm-hmm. of owning and renting? The second thing we'd like to look at more, and we hope to spend more time looking at, is the contagion effect of good rental housing. As I said before, we believe rental housing can help rebuild and be part of the stimulus for neighborhood and community development. We'd like to measure that. What impact does it really have? For example, to what extent does decent rental housing make for a more stable labor force? To what extent does it allow sort of companies to more easily recruit and become more economically competitive? There's some early work on that's hinted at in some of the papers, but we think there's a lot more work to be done.
Nick, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Nice to be with you.